If you are new to memorizing Scripture, there is one Scripture I suggest you do not start with. I mean, maybe you can, but I couldn't do it. And that is Psalm 119. Anybody know how many verses are in Psalm 119? What's that? 22 times 8. Good job, my friend. Which equals 176 verses. 176 verses in Psalm 119. If you can do that, you're definitely a better memorizer. Anyway, you're good at it, and I'm not. 119 is 176 verses long. There was a time when I had memorized Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Bible college, we had a test over Matthew 5, and then the next week we had a test over Matthew 6, and then the next week over Matthew chapter 7, right? Even if I would have remembered all three of those chapters, 5, 6, and 7, they still would have been 65 verses shorter than the chapter of Psalm 119. All right, it's a massive, massive scripture. And as my friend Aaron just so eloquently pointed out, it is an acrostic poem in which each set of eight verses begin with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. And so there's eight verses in Aleph, and they all start with Aleph. The next letter is Beth. There's eight verses that all start with Beth. Gimel, Daleth, etc. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet equals 176 verses. And the theme of these verses is the prayer of one who delights and lives by the Torah, which is the law. That is this. That is the Word. And so the next 2 weeks, we are going to look at two small parts of this very long chapter. This week, we'll look at verses 9 through 11, and next week, we'll look at verse 105. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, you can grab a Bible, you can read the screen, you can grab a Bible under your chair, or if you have a phone or your own Bible, follow along. 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This morning, we're going to try and answer the question, how can a person stay pure? And purity really is a subjective thing for us, isn't it? I mean, for some, you might think, well, I'm talking about sex, you know? I'm talking about sex and movies, or on TV, or between boyfriends and girlfriends, or husbands and wives. Maybe that's what I'm talking about. You might be thinking, well, maybe Sobek's talking about pornography, or he's talking about people having an affair. Some might think I'm talking about language, you know, coarse joking, lewd stories, cursing. Others might think I'm talking about motive, selfish ambitions, pats on the back. That's why we do things, you know. Truly, nothing is selfless, right? Because even when I give to charity or something, you know, I get recognized for that. And I guess what I'm saying is I'm talking about every one of those things and many, many more. I have a bottle of water here. This was vitamin water that I don't like how vitamin water tastes. My wife does though, but I just fill it with water. And so here's what I know. I was reading this week about poison. And there is a poison, the most poisonous substance that we know of, right? The most poisonous poison known to man. Is botulinum toxin, okay? What they said was 2 or 3 teaspoons, 2 or 3 teaspoons would be enough to kill the entire nation of the United Kingdom. 2 to 3 teaspoons. That's not much, right? So what am I talking about when I'm talking about purity? This is water. This is pure, clean water straight out of my refrigerator, which is filtered, right? I mean, okay, maybe it's not 99, maybe it's 99.9% pure, all right? This is botulinum toxin, right? If I just squeeze a drop, that's maybe 2 drops, and I shake it up. I mean, it's kind of pinkish, but not really. I mean, it's just kind of, but let me tell you something. That's not pure. That water is no longer pure. This water is now tainted. In fact, if I have this poison, it could kill me. What we're talking about in purity is exactly what Vicky just talked about. Holiness. Because here is the deal with holiness. It has to do with sin too, right? You guys know, like back in the day, right? When they were talking about sin, right? Hamartia, right? It is this Greek term of the sin, and that is actually an archery term. And the bullseyes and the targets in archery back in that day, there was a red dot in the center and all the rest was white, right? And if you hit the red dot in the center, you got a point. If you didn't, you got no points. That was how it was scored. If you did ever hit the white, you didn't get the point. That's what we're talking about with purity. If you want to be pure, if you want to talk about what holiness is never, ever, ever making a mistake. Holiness is never, ever, ever being wrong. It is being blameless. It is being sinless. And God is those things, and we are not. So who is pure? Nobody. You're not pure. I'm not pure. Nobody's pure. But how do we become pure? That is the question that we are looking at this morning. 2 Timothy 4:3, "For a time is coming when people no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." That day is come and gone, folks. Today we will listen to whatever tickles our ears, whatever confirms our biases, our thoughts, and we will try and silence anything or anyone that doesn't agree with what we already think. Listen, people did that with the last administration, and people 5 days in are doing it with this administration. The only way I know how to combat that is to be well read. That's it. Read multiple news sources, not just the ones you like. Read news sources from overseas. Force yourself to listen to your political opposite. Read the classics. Tolstoy, Dickens, Bronte, Twain. Read those guys, the dead guys. Read them. Most importantly, though, if you don't do any of those, can I beg you something, please? Can I beg you this? Read this. It is the most important thing you can do. It is the most important information you can put inside of yourself. Read this. Eat it. Study it. This contains the very words of God, of Jesus, and is truth. It is truth and it is wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. This is how you get it. And this morning, we are going to see how the Word is purifying, and we're going to answer the question, how can a person stay pure? And the first one of those is that we act according to God's Word. We act according to God's Word. Look at verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your Word. Believing something isn't really believing something unless you put action to it. You know what I mean? You don't really believe in a parachute until you jump. Theoretically, you can say, oh, yeah, no, this parachute will work. This parachute's good. This parachute's solid. Well, then jump. That's what you really believe, right? It's the same with Scripture. It's the same with your life. You aren't really trusting God's Word until you live it out, until you act accordingly. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. There are so many times that I, as Pastor Sobeck, right, can tell you what the Bible says. But if I haven't gone through something similar, then it seems like words like the right thing to say. I can tell you what the Bible says about that topic, but I don't really relate to it. However, if I have gone through it, and God has seen me through it, then you can see how passionate I am about that. Because I have been through it, and I know how relevant God's Word is, and how His Word got me and will get you through that situation. Philippians 4:9 says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. If we want to be pure, if we want to avoid many troubles and heartaches, then act according to God's Word. Am I saying that we won't have problems? Of course not. Of course not. Perhaps, though, perhaps we won't have as many man-made, self-made problems in this world. If we want peace in our lives and our hearts, then we need to act as God would want us to act. We want to live as God has demonstrated us to live, how He has shown us to live by His Son. Notice Jesus had many trials. He had many problems here on earth. But also remember this. Even through all those trials, all those problems, all those temptations, all those rejections, Jesus never sinned. Ever. He lived as God asked him to. He was able to be at peace with himself, to, yes, make the hardest decision that anyone ever had to take and to make, to take on himself all the sins of the entire world, to be hung from a cross. The most horrific death ever conceived by man. When we act according to God's Word, our spirits are at peace. We can face all the problems of today and not be startled, not be alarmed, not be panicked, because the Word of peace rules our hearts and it rules our minds. How do we stay pure? The second thing is we seek God with all your heart. Psalm 119, 9 through 10, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your Word. And look, I have tried hard to find you. Seek. Seek God, and you will find Him. Can I just tell you that? If you seek God, you will find Him. Just like the Father in the story of the prodigal son, God is waiting for you to seek Him. If you seek, He will come to you. You won't have to search for long. God is constantly scanning the hills and the valleys for you, waiting for you to turn your face toward Him. And when He does, He will run to you. He'll run to you. Psalm 42:1-2, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God, when I can go and stand before Him. One of the very first worship songs I can remember comes from this verse. You guys know it. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. That just brings me, I mean, that's just one of those dear, dear songs to me. Can I promise you something? If you seek him, he will find you. It is funny how it works, but it does. God is a God that wants more than just church attendance, more than just arbitrarily opening your Bible and reading something. No, God wants more than anything else, relationship. God wants relationship. He had relationship with Moses, with Abraham, with Elijah, with Peter, with Paul, and now he wants a relationship with you. Yes, you. I believe that with all my heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I believe that. And I promise you this, if you seek him, he will find you. Some of you this morning may have never known what it is to feel the presence of God. Can we change that for you this morning? Here is a simple assignment, okay? The book of Mark has 16 chapters. Take 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks, and read the book of Mark. 2 chapters a day. 2 days, you'll have to read 3. Right? Before you read, pray simply, God, please allow my heart to be open to hear you today. And when you get done reading, pray, God, please let me hear what you are telling me from what I read today. See what happens. You just trust me on this? See what happens. See if it does not make a difference. See if God does not find you when you seek him. When you seek him, he finds you and he changes you. He shows you a different way, a better way, a purer way. How can a person stay pure? Well, number 3 is you keep God's commands. Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried to find hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. John wrote the book of John, the gospel, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation, right? He talks about this constantly. Obeying. John 14:15. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commandments. 1 John 5:2-3. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. John 8:31-32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 1 John 2:3, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Have you ever heard someone say, I love God, but... And then it's like, watch out, right? Because the next sentence phrase that's about to come out of this person's mouth is going to be a doozy, right? You know, I love God, but... I cuss a little. I love God, but I hate church. I love God, but I hate Christians. You know, I love God, but I want to party, or I love God, but I want to have fun, or fill in the blank with whatever else you can think of. My question is, this morning, to every one of you, do you really love God? Question mark. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging anybody. I honestly don't know if you are or are not. And that is not for me to decide. That's not. I don't get to decide whether or not somebody loves God, right? Here is a deciding factor of whether or not you love God. Do you obey? Do you keep God's commands? Because that, according to His word, is how you show you love Him. Do you obey? Do you follow? Do you keep His commands? This week, I was in Aldi with Elijah, and we both had our masks on, and Elijah's really cute. Elijah loves wearing a mask. I don't know. I mean, I don't obviously love it, but, man, he loves it. He throws it on. He never wants to take it off. He gets in the car. Like, he can take it off. He's like, I'm going. You know, that whole thing. But we were in the middle of Aldi, and he wanted to stand in the cart, right? He wanted to stand up, right? Never a bad, for a three-year-old, not a good idea. Anybody, it's not a good idea, but especially for a three-year-old. He's got no balance. So I put this on Facebook because I thought it was really funny. So he's yelling in the middle of Aldi, and Aldi is kind of packed, as Aldi usually is. He says, Daddy! Because I'm telling him he has to sit down. This is the baddest thing ever. I mean, obviously, he's making a scene, right? Dad, this is the baddest. And me, in typical Sobek fashion, said, Elijah, you say, this is the worst thing ever. Say worst. And then he said, softly, this is the worst thing ever. And I said, there you go. I've got this dad thing locked down. Right? I mean, I'm good at this dad thing. My wife would have handled it a little bit differently, probably better. Keep God's commands. Keep God's commands. If you want to show that you love Him, keep His commands. Even when you are begrudgingly keeping His commands, keep them anyway, just like Elijah did.
This is the worst ever.
How does a young person stay pure? You hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we truly want to stay pure, if we truly want to be holy as God is holy, then we must let God's word live in our heart. We must hide it there. We must live it. We must breathe it. We must digest it. The next day after the Aldi incident, Elijah was mad about something else. Elijah is three. He's always mad about something, right? So here's what he said. So today when Elijah was upset about something and he yelled, this is the next day, this is the worst thing ever. Progress, folks. Progress. Elijah, I know this is silly, Elijah had hidden my words in his heart. Elijah had internalized what I had said, and he went from saying, this is the baddest thing ever, to this is the worst thing ever. He understood and he listened and he comprehended what I was saying. Folks, we must internalize God's word. We must hide God's word in our heart. He changed, and folks, we will change if we do that. Listen, when we hide our Father's words in our hearts, not my words, not the words of some sermon, but God's words, not our earthly father or mother's words, but when we hide our Heavenly Father's words, God's words in our hearts, we truly begin to change. We see things differently. We experience peace when there should be anger. When we bury the word in our heart, it changes us. It grows us into a harvest of peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. We celebrated Martin Luther King this week. Martin Luther King was born, well, he was born at the right time, but I mean, if Twitter was around when Martin Luther King was born, he would be like the most quoted Twitter account ever, right? He just had quote after quote after quote. Check, I mean, these are awesome. I believe, here's one, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. I love that. Violence is immoral because it thrives on hatred rather than love. Violence ends up defeating itself. It creates bitterness in the survivors and brutality in the destroyers. Here are my two favorites. You ready? There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. Man, could we use that today? My favorite one. Hate is too great a burden to bear. I've decided to love. Martin Luther King did that, didn't he? He didn't just say the words, but he showed them and he proved them. Did Martin Luther King have flaws? Of course he did. Of course he did. Was he a sinner? Absolutely. Just like me. But here's what I know. Martin Luther King had hidden God's word in his heart. He had internalized them and he lived them. He merely followed the path that had been walked by someone much greater than he, some 2,000 years before him. Of course, it all comes back to Jesus. Doesn't it? It all comes back to Jesus. Jesus faced trial after trial, hardship after hardship, and he decided to stick with love. Love that has set us free. Love that is eternal. Love that is everlasting. And love that is sufficient and can sustain us. That love is the love that Jesus showed. You understand? They mocked God. They beat God. They whipped God. They killed God. And Jesus, rather than choosing hate, decided to stick with love. And he spread his arms and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he took the sin and the shame and the suffering for all of us. Because the cost and the price was too great. We couldn't pay it ourselves. That only happened because Jesus knew God's word. He had buried it in here. Today, this week, this year, can we try that? Can we bury God's word in here and see what happens? I guarantee you, I promise you, you won't be sorry.